Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, a lot of you have been asking me. I did a video recently on the evidence that we are becoming less intelligent. And so now a lot of you have been asking me, well, why is it that we are becoming less intelligent? So I want to talk about that. So why are we becoming less intelligent? Well, as I said, until the Industrial Revolution, we were under harsh Darwinian selection. This meant that child mortality was 50% every generation. What were we selecting for? Well, we've sound evidence that we were selecting for intelligence. We know that because our heads were getting bigger across time, because the richer 50% of the population had double the completed fertility of the poorer 50% of the population, and wealth correlates with intelligence at about 0.4, and intelligence is highly genetic. We know that because we have some evidence that across a broad period of time, the frequency of alleles in the population associated with IQ were going up. So we know we were a per capita major innovation, which is a marker of intelligence, was also going up. So we know we were becoming more intelligent. So we were selecting for intelligence. But the things that we were also selecting for other things. We were selecting for genetic health. We were selecting for genetic mental health, genetic physical health as well. And so therefore, those things become pleiotropically related. And so you end up with a correlation between intelligence, genetic intelligence, and genetic health. That is what would have happened. So then the first reason why we end up declining in our IQ is that with the Industrial Revolution, we have the rise of better medicine, we have the rise of inoculations and whatever, and all of these children who would have, all of these people that would have died as children of typhus, of measles, of whatever it happens, smallpox, of whatever it happens to be, they survive and they pass on their genes. And they keep doing so generation after generation after generation. So essentially, by killing off those who had poor genetic health, what the pre-industrial system of high child mortality was doing was also killing off those that had relatively genetically low IQ. With the collapse of this system and the fall of child mortality to just 1% as it is today, then all of these people who have poor genetic health and have low IQ, and by the way, those things still correlate. We have research more recently which indicates there are still a genetic relationship between low IQ and poor health at the genetic level. That still exists. So all those people build up and up and up and up and up and survive, and so therefore you end up with a population that is less intelligent, that is decreasing, that is less and less intelligent. Now, what that meant was that the relationship that had previously existed between intelligence and fertility stopped. It didn't exist anymore. And eventually it went into reverse. Now, what caused it to go into reverse? Well, there's a number of factors involved. There's really four key factors involved. The first is contraception. So with the development of contraception, contraception starts off by being taken up by reliable contraception, being taken up by the higher classes, and it moves sort of down the population as people gradually realise that they can get away with having fewer children because they're basically all going to survive and there'll be people to look after them in old age and whatever. And so contraception is essentially a test of intelligence. People that are less intelligent are more impulsive. So A, they will be too impulsive to use the contraception. And B, even if they do use it, they'll do it wrong. For example, if you take the pill, do you take it at exactly the same time every day, which is what you're supposed to do, or do you knock it back with a glass of red wine when you remember? Well, intelligence will predict those kinds of differences. So the result is that intelligent people will use contraception more efficiently. Intelligent people will be more likely to use contraception. And so this helps us to explain the current minus 0.1 relationship or minus 0.2 relationship between intelligence and fertility. That's the first reason. That's contraception. The second reason, to a certain extent, is feminism. So with the introduction of feminism, then obviously what do we get? We get a situation where the less intelligent woman will spend, the more intelligent woman, I'm sorry, will spend all of her 20s and increasingly the first half of her 30s concentrating on her career, and will have, if she gets married at all and has children, she might have one or two children. Whereas the less intelligent woman will drop out of school at 16 and she will have a series of children by a series of unsuitable men, and she will be becoming a grandmother when she's in her early 30s by the time that her more intelligent contemporary is becoming a mother. So low IQ people not only have more children, but they have more generations, which compounds their increased fertility. And so that's a second reason. Then is basically the rise of feminism. A third related reason, a sub reason of this is that if you are women are evolved to sexually select for status. Women in prehistory, if you're a woman and you have a child by a man who has high status, then he's more likely to be able to look after you. He's more likely to be able to look after the children, and so it makes sense to sexually select for status for men that are higher status than you, and certainly not to go for a man that is of lower status than you. That is repugnant to a lot of women. Now, if you're a woman and we've got to a point now in Western countries where women are often more educated than men. So there's just fewer highly intelligent, highly educated men to go around, with the result that a lot of highly educated, highly intelligent women would rather be single, would rather not get married at all than marry down. And there's just no men for them to choose from. So they don't end up having children with those people at all. And indeed, the relationship between intelligence and fertility is, or infertility is, stronger among women than men for that kind of reason. So you've got the general decrease, the general industrial revolution and what that does to medicine. You've got contraception, you've got feminism, you've also got welfare. That's the next important factor. So we know at the moment what used to happen if you were poor is that your children would simply die. So there was this system whereby every generation, those that were poor, which would correlate with having low IQ, they wouldn't be able to look after their children. Their children would die, would be removed from the gene pool. With the rise of welfare, you have a situation where that doesn't happen. And people who have low intelligence, who are therefore more likely to get pregnant by accident or whatever, have not just a safety net that they can fall back on, but a lifestyle upon which they can live. A lifestyle which essentially encourages low IQ women to have lots of children, because they'll just get given somewhere to live. At least in many Western countries, they'll get given somewhere to live, and they will have sufficient resources to live off. And the more children they have, the more child benefit they will get, and they have to spend that child benefit on their children. They can spend it on whatever they like, and indeed they do. And so the result of that is that welfare encourages fertility among those of very low IQ, and it's been demonstrated in Adam Perkins's book, The Welfare Trait, that the heritability of being on welfare is very high. Obviously, the heritability of IQ is out of low IQ is very high. The heritability of sort of antisocial personality is very high. The heritability of welfareism is high. And if we divide the country up into those where both parents are working, average IQ about 100, those where one parent is on welfare, average IQ about 90, those where both parents are on welfare, average IQ about 85, and those where both parents are on welfare and you have the police being sent round and social workers being sent round, essentially the criminal underclass. Only the latter have above replacement fertility among the native population. So that's yet another reason for the reduction in IQ among the native population. And the final reason is just dysphoria. There's evidence not just that people that have high IQ have fewer children. They are more likely and want fewer children. But they are more likely to not want to have any children at all. Now, why would that be the case? Why would they want to not, literally, why would IQ predict literally not wanting children? Well, you could argue, oh, well, they've reasoned that it's pointless having children and they might as well enjoy their lives. Fine, that's fine. But that's not an adaptive way to think from an evolutionary perspective. That involves having imbibed a materialistic worldview. And interestingly, there is evidence that if you elevate a people's sense of stress and elevate their mortality salience, so make them think, you know, they're going to die, stimulate their mortality salience, then they have a desire to have children. The desire to have children goes up. And if you make them think that everything's okay and that they're materially really, really rich or whatever, their desire to have children goes down. So what that implies is an evolutionary mismatch. Our evolutionary match is to be in a situation where we are surrounded by death and whatever all the time. This causes our instincts, as it were, to hit in. This makes us on edge and this makes us instinctive. And one of our instincts is to have children. Another of our instincts is religiosity. And religiosity tends to very, very strongly promote having children. It tends to be pronatalist. The two things tend to be wrapped up. On the other hand, it is our evolutionary mismatch to be surrounded by wealth and not have to try and whatever. That's a mismatch. That makes us not want want to have children. So what this implies is that potentially that intelligent people, and there is some evidence for this, are more environmentally sensitive. They're less in touch with their instincts. They're less instinctive. So if you put a person that has low IQ in an evolutionary mismatch, it doesn't matter. He has all these built-in instincts and he'll just want to have children anyway. Put a person with high IQ in an evolutionary mismatch, well, it does matter. He doesn't have these built-in instincts and therefore he will want to not have children. And that way may be another reason, but that you always see, whether it's the end of Greece, the end of Rome, the end of Baghdad, at this very high level of civilization, which is an extreme evolutionary mismatch where everyone's wealthy and there's low mortality salience, you always see that the upper classes don't want to have children. It happens again and again and again. And it's been documented throughout history, even in contexts in which there wasn't particularly good contraception, in which feminism didn't get anywhere near as pronounced as it is now, and medicine wasn't anywhere near as good as it was now. You still get the same phenomenon. So it may well be that there are studies that indicate this, that people who are higher in intelligence are more environmentally sensitive. They carry on being environmentally plastic to a later stage than do people of low IQ. And also it makes sense that if you want to solve a difficult problem, a complex cognitive problem, then the instinctive response is often going to be wrong. It's the person that is able to move above their instincts and reason carefully who will be more likely to solve the problem. So it would make sense that there should be a negative relationship between intelligence and instinctiveness. But anyway, those are the key reasons why our IQ among the native population is going down and why the relationship is between minus 0.1 and minus 0.2 between intelligence and having children.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke, joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!